I would ask the men to go ahead and hand out the outlines, if you will, please. While we're doing that, if you're visiting with us or you just happened by, we're glad that you're here and you are. We have entered into a study this quarter. Instead of going to usual Bible classes before the worship, we are having a lectureship, we call it, and this is on stewardship. And the topic this morning, my topic is the stewardship of needy saints and of the, hospitalization, but it's hospitality. And I'm some distracted. Vicki had to admit her dad into the hospital Friday night, and so now we've got two of her family in hospital care at the same time, so we are very distracted with all that. But anyway, so if I say hospitalist or something, and or something like that, I'm talking about hospitality. And I relate very well to this in an overview of this. We've talked about definitions of it and all that, but I think of stewardship, being a servant, being a steward, as work. It's just work. The parable of the talents talked to that a lot. But I think in my work, often I will do work for a wealthy person. And when they contract with me to handle their business, what are they looking for? To learn a lot about the forestry or the science behind it or all the things that go on in trying to make something profitable. No, they just want to make more money. And when they come to check on it, I feel the pressure of to perform so that they'll be pleased with what I've been doing. And now the advantage I have over them is that normally I know a lot more about it than they. I know more about the subject. Now, in the case of the Christian, with us being required to be stewards of God, we don't know anything compared to the Creator. When the Master comes back to examine what we've done and what our stewardship, our ability to perform the tasks that He's given us, there's not going to be any. Conversation of equals, or you know, the Master just—he knows all. He created all, and that's where, if you scan the lesson, that's what I want to talk a little bit about before we actually get into being good stewards in the way of helping the needy. And we have to develop a mindset to be good at it. You can be a steward; anybody can be a steward, anybody can be a servant, but be a good one. That's a whole nother concept. And I think in the talents, remember the five, the two, and the one of the talents. Not going to go into it. All right, we know that. We know. But in the five talents and the two talents, people were given responsibility according to their ability, to what they could accomplish. The Lord knows already what we can accomplish before we know it. And so, and we can tend to think, well, hey, if I and we're talking, I know the talents are talking about money, but we've rightly compared it to many things, abilities. And so, well, hey, so and so's just got all these abilities that he can do. Might think of an elder. An elder's probably got quite a few abilities, but in the end, what does the Lord say to each one that accomplished? You've been faithful in a few things. That's to the guy with five. They got five more. But you were faithful in a few things. Remember, I'm not impressing the landowner. I can impress the landowner sometimes and do some things that, no, this guy really knows something. Not that way with God. He's the master of all. All he wants is for us to follow instructions. Follow his directions. It's all Adam and Eve had to do. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they were given the job to keep the garden and follow instructions. And that's all God cares about. Now, he knows our limitations, but he expects us to do what he says. One more point. When he was talking, he said to Peter, "Do you love me?" And what did Peter say? "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Then feed my sheep." And then he asked him again and again. Some have said that's comparable to Peter denying him three times. I don't know about that. It's possible. But the point is, I know the point. The point is the Lord is giving him instructions. Follow my will. If you love me, you'll follow my will. You know, and go to John. I think it's 14. Now it's... chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In verse 21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." If anyone loves me, in verse 23, "he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him." Verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Also, just briefly, I believe this is foundation to us being good stewards. In 1 John, it says, chapter 2, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So, we are as stewards, if we want to be good stewards, we follow God's commands in everything because we love him. It's different from a relationship that I have with a landowner. I want to do well just so I can kind of be justified in the things that I've told him and justify the money that I've had him spend. In this case, I do it out of love. It's more like if my father had been wealthy and say to me, "I'm just going to have to trust you with everything because I just can't do this anymore. I'm not able." And so I love my father, so I'm going to do everything in his best interest because I love him. And so, can't we relate that to our Father in heaven? And we want to do it precisely like he wants us to do it. You know. So anyway, I want to make those points about stewardship. It's not something to be taken lightly. I think the comments made up to this point are pretty apparent. It's a serious matter. I've got in the introduction here, when Paul was speaking to Corinthians, we are God's fellow workers. There's no ranking or acknowledgement of abilities. And by... ranking is simply mean, you know, just because you are a minister of the gospel, just because you have an ability to stand out for whatever reason to people. You're just, if you've got that ability, to God, you're doing your duty and doing using your abilities to accomplish things to His glory. It's not about, and I hope the speakers, I try to remember that when I have to speak. I don't ever thirst for the opportunity to speak. But I try to remember that it's not about me. It's about glorifying God and trying to help people to see a certain topic, to glorify. And I've seen preachers, and our preachers definitely not like this, so don't even think about it, but they love to be seen. You can just I can tell. They just proud to be here. You know, they just like for you to focus on them and pay attention to them. And that really has a kind of a turnoff thing to me. And they may be saying some really good things, but I can just tell by the way they conduct themselves that they're just fairly arrogant about it all. But anyway, I don't want to not emphasize though with as in preaching, as in elders being an elder, it has its, like the man with the five talents, there is more opportunity for things to go wrong when you do a lot, and you have more to be accountable to God. And the point that I want to make from that is in Hebrews about elders. And this may be off and a little bit to the side, but I think it needs to be made. We have some here that, not many, but some, that do not dress modestly, or very seldom do they. Do they dress modestly? And I want to say, as an elder, that's a burden for me. I wish they would. And in verse 17 of chapter 13, it says, "Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account." There's the responsibility. And let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I don't know what that means, but it's not good. And I would say that when you don't dress properly, you put a burden on top of me, and I believe the other elders too, when you do that. So I wish you would think about those things. But my point is made in that God expects us to do what we can do. Don't back off from these things as trying to get better and progress, you young marrieds and stuff like that. You want to try to progress to be an elder. Or do whatever you can do that's more than you're doing now. Whatever that amounts to. But when you do, you have more responsibility as being good stewards of all of those things that now you've accumulated and that you are responsible for. And so, and we have topics on that. After me will come people talking about the family and different things of stewardship. Every time you marry, you have put yourself in a situation, now you have more responsibility than you used to have. You got to be a steward now of the family. You know, just as you grow, you get more responsibility. So anyway, let's set in our priorities. In Deuteronomy 6, let's see, is that right? It says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You know, we say, well, this is the Old Testament, and this was God's instructions to his people. But has that changed any? Well, look in Matthew 10. Maybe I'll get faster at this. Verse 34 says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father and daughter." And we know how that reads. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will save it." So I don't believe anything's changed from the old to the new. Our whole purpose in life, our first and foremost purpose, is to love God and keep his commandments. You know. And if our purpose is that, then it's going to affect every single thing we do. If you're a Christian, from the time that you become a Christian, probably, I would like to think, before you're married, you become a Christian. And then when you start thinking about getting married, is that going to affect your choices on who you marry? It should. If you love the God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if you're following what Jesus said here, it should. When you take a job, when you pick the work you want to do, is that going to have an effect on what you choose to do? I hope so. You're going to make sure you live in a place where you can attend regularly to church. You're going to, you know, God is number one in your life. If these concepts are not accepted and applied to our lives, how are we ever going to be a good steward? In any of these categories that are listed in this lecture, that's just hopeless. We have to be committed to God. We have to love him. And that's where we got to teach our children. That's the hard thing. You can teach them all the make them memorize verses from daylight to dark. If we don't teach them to love God and want to keep his commandments, just a lot of worthless work. Okay. In outline, trying to stay with that, go to Proverbs 17, beginning in 17. We're to show compassion to the poor and needy. This is not an option. God has always expected this. He's made the statement, the poor will always be with us. We're not going to fix it. But what are we to do about it? Well, I've listed a few. There's a lot said about this. I just didn't go into it. But Proverbs 17 in verse 5, "He who mocks the poor reproaches his maker." You know, that's serious. We're supposed to respect the poor. We're supposed to pay attention to them. 19, verse 17. "Who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. And he will pay back what he has given." So the Lord has not only promised us that he appreciates this, but he's saying, you'll be paid in full for anything you do for somebody in need. As if we needed a guarantee. I mean, he could have just said, do it. You know, he could have said that. 22:9 says, He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. And 21:13 says, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. That's how serious this is. God expects his people to be sympathetic to those in need. It's just expected. Then we get to Matthew 25, which is very familiar to everybody, but I'm going to read just a little of it. It's Jesus talking to people in the judgment, and just in 35 and 36, it says, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Here, we see Christ going through all of these situations that an individual can find themselves in. Well, it may be of their own making. It may have been they were tricked into something. It may have been they was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It doesn't matter. What matters is how we react to it. And the Lord expects us, and you notice here, a lot of these things not talking about money. And I want to say about the congregation here, when money's the issue, we had something come up here not long ago, and I saw quite a few people going by back there and giving some money to Alan to hand to the people that needed it. We had some strangers come through, and we don't have a problem with that here. But I think what we all can do better, or many of us can, give of our time more. These things that the Lord's talking about here, it's a matter of things that we wouldn't even miss in giving to people. I came on a guy, and I wanted to say when I started, and I didn't do it, but you like to feel like you're accomplished in the subject you're talking about, and I don't have that feeling. And especially yesterday, I came on a guy who was visiting Mr. Rutland, my father-in-law, there at the hospital, and he's a member of the church, but he said he has a business, and he worked unbelievable hours through the week. It was a cleaning business, and they do a lot of commercial cleaning and stuff. He said there one day he put in 18 hours. But he said he always sets aside Saturday to go and visit people in the hospital or that need visiting. Sets aside Saturday. I start to say, you won't talk Sunday for me. You know, I don't know him well enough or I'd ask him. You know, so that just made me even feel worse. And here I am up here talking about how you need to do this and that, about the needy and being hospitable. But we can all look at what we're doing or what we haven't been doing and get better. We can do that, including me. So anyway, it all goes back to a love for the Savior, a love for the Master. You know, in 1 John 3:17-18. Another comment related to this. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, it's very, very telling, and as wealthy and as able as we are, that we have to, you know, and I know nobody wants to get swindled, taken. I've made that comment to people that stop by here. I just tell them, I said, we don't know you. Now if you would come some and let us get to know you, we might be able to do more. But right now, we don't know you. And so I would encourage you to come in and listen to the lesson and meet some people. And some people here might be willing to help you some. And my point in this is, when in doubt, just give them some money. if you don't know, well, I tell you, they look like unstable character. They're probably going to go use that on drugs, or you know, I may be hurt more, so I'm just going to keep my money. No, if you've got an indication that you can help them in any way, you need to go ahead and give them some money. In my opinion, there. But we've got, you know, I've told that to many people, and people have been helped that way. Now, the elders are not going to give them money out of the church, something like that, because like I say, we don't know them. But I can give them some of my money, you know. So anyway, just way, you know, some have entertained angels unaware. So you think of that verse sometimes when you think about entertaining somebody you don't know or trying to help them. You don't know who you might be helping that the Lord would really want you to help. It's interesting to me that in Ephesians 4, where it says, we all know that verse, but I'm going to go to it. In verse 25, I'll start in chapter 4. Well, I'm going to just go to 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Part of the reason that, you know, you can't help any stranger coming in. It's a no-brainer type thing. You can't help anybody if you don't have any money. As far as when it comes to monetary things, if you're homeless yourself or don't have anything to offer, you can't offer anybody to come in to eat a meal with you or something if you don't have a place to be. So a man is to work, but why should he work? Well, to provide and to help the needy. A big purpose of why you work for a living is not for yourself. It's to help the needy. Are we helping the needy? Are we accomplishing the purpose that God, one of the purposes God said? Are we going to be a good steward of what God has blessed us with? The ability to work and make a living. I hear that in prayers all the time. We're glad that we're able to work. We're glad that we have the health to be able to provide for ourselves and our family. And rightly so. But one reason we have that is to help the needy. And I put on here in a little parenthesis, don't work too much. What does that mean? Well, and I don't want to get into things that other people are going to talk about. Your family can be part of the needy. Men that work, if you work too much, your family can turn out to be needy. I'm not talking about the money. They're needy because you're not there. you're not there to help them raise, help your wife or raise the children. I've never seen that work out well. I've just never seen that. It may have, it probably has in some instances, but I haven't seen that work out well. If you're gone all the time and the wife is having to be at home to raise the children kind of on her own, it just doesn't work out too well. So be careful. You've got to provide. You've got to be able to give to people. You've got to make enough to be able to do it. But you got to find time for your family. Or they may turn into the needy, and then you're not going to be a good steward of them. See? Being a steward is one thing. Being a good one of all these categories is a real life challenge to be. Okay, I've said enough about that. All right, in Matthew 6, I want to make a point about that. It's an interesting thing is telling us how to give. In the first verse, chapter 6, Matthew, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before as hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that the charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. This is very clear. The whole point of this, in my thinking, is be sure and give God the glory for what you do. You know, the reason we're doing these deeds is not because I particularly just crazy about this stranger I just met and want to help him out. I'm doing this as unto the Lord when I do these things. I'm trying to carry out the commands that the Lord has given me in the way I treat certain people. And I can see something else in this. People that are out trying to make a living and they need some help, do you think they really have a lot of joy in telling you they're having a problem? I don't think so. It's very humbling. And so you want to do... You want to help them, but you want to do that. I'd want to do that even if the Lord hadn't commanded me to do it. I'd want to do that kind of undercover because I don't want them to be humiliated any more than they already feel humiliated. You know, I feel sorry for them. I'm sorry. They're in hard times. And there's any number of circumstances that can put many of us in hard times. And it wouldn't take very much. So we can relate to that. And but the Lord says here, to me, it says, you be sure and give me the glory. Now there's been some giving done in the open in Scripture, but you just make sure that you're not trying to receive the glory yourself. You give it to God. And if you do it in secret, at most likely you'll be safe. Based on what I see here. I started addressing more being hospitable down in the third part of the outline. And look at Romans 12. And it, you know, the hospitable, being hospitable in a real sense, and that's why they put this subject matter together, it can be needy people too. Um, There's a number of things that we're expected, that's expected of Christians. But down in, I'm going to just start in verse 9 of chapter 12 of Romans. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. With brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. There's a key right there. Giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and given to hospitality. And down in verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. I can call that needy. Associate with these. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So we are to seek out being with people that, I remember Drew, when he played a lot of baseball, he said, Dad, I want to play up. I always want to play up, you know. And he knew, you know, if I play up, I'm gonna get better. I won't play with the best, you know. And so he stayed with that thinking all the way into college. You know, he wanted to play up, you know. Well, this right here wanting to play down. You know, this is God appreciates humility, you know. And so we want to associate with all Christians. We want to have fellowship with each other, and we want to help each other. Well, you can't help each other if everybody you're with is better off than you are. And you're not going to help them as much as you're going to help somebody that's struggling. And so, as answered to me, the Greek word translated hospitality means love of strangers. You know, when I think about having hospitality with everybody, I think about inviting somebody over that I know. You know, we need to have so-and-so over to the house and get to know each other better. This love of strangers, inviting strangers in, you know. So step lower than I normally think of going, you know, with this. This part of being hospitable. The parable of the Good Samaritan. First of all, let me go to 1 Peter. I want to read that. I think it backs up these ideas. 1 Peter 4, 8, 9, and 10. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The grace of God enables us to be able to do what we do. We thank God all the time in our prayers for our blessings. But if we realize, if we just think about it, we realize it. I realize it from time to time, but I forget about it. When we realize our blessing, we're really in touch with how much we've been blessed. It's easier to be good stewards because we appreciate the Master. We appreciate what He's done for us. You know, remember Job and all the heartache that he had. But he was wealthy before that. But Job never lost sight of the Master that gave it all to him. And that was the key to him staying faithful all the time through all the heartache when everybody else deserted him, even his wife. He hung in there because he appreciated the blessings that he had received from the master. That's what will help us to be good stewards of these responsibilities we have. We appreciate the master. And we know when the master comes back, all the things that we think were wrong will be fixed. And not only that, we're going to be brought into account for our abilities and our stewardship and how we used it, just like the 5-talent or the 2-talent man was, or the 1-talent. You know, the 1-talent guy did not. It wasn't the fact that he just had 1 talent. He could have doubled the money. He didn't. Do you think that we can get by with just using some of our abilities even? I don't think so. I think the implication is we need to use all of our blessings. And so here, to be good stewards, we are to minister one to another and being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Being good stewards because of the grace of God. So, anyway. The parable of the Good Samaritan is what I wanted to get to now. Brief. Of course, that's in Luke. But you remember the story this man, he helped. He was being truly hospitable. He was being hospitable because now he spent money, but he did whatever. He bandaged the man's wounds. He did whatever was needed to help the man. He was being hospitable. Even though he didn't take him to his home, he saw to him. He saw to his needs. And he rendered hospitality to the man. Our young and old need to do what we need to do to help people. And we can do it. There are so many things that we have this concept of retirement. I want to say something about that. You don't retire here. Now, I know that we don't sometimes have the health to do the things we'd like to do. But seeing about the needy, sending them a card, doing some things for them, hospitality, you might still be able to do that. I know Mother right now, she's aggravated because she can't write anymore. You know, she can't really control her writing, so she can't send the cards like she used to send. But if there's something we can be doing, we need to be doing it. These examples, I think, tell us that. And I hate to see, like, we get in a mindset. The young people, they're trying to get started, they're trying to make a living. They just don't have time. They're working, they're very busy. So, but I'll go see people in the hospital, or I'll go see them later. Or I'll set time for that later when I get a little bit more established. When we get old, we say, well, you know, I just don't feel like getting out like I used to. You know, we go from one end to the other of the spectrum, and we still just don't get it done. We need to set aside some time. I hear people talking about golf all the time. They set aside time to do golf. I mean, they got time. You know, they make time. You know, and so why can't we do that with visiting people or trying to see? Just call them and see. Do you need something? Need some help? So, we could talk about that some more and look at some scripture, but we don't have time. In Matthew 10, you can read this, 9 and 10, Jesus and his disciples depended on hospitality everywhere they went. Remember, the Lord said, don't take anything with you. It'll be provided as you go. You know, just go. Do your job. As they told Peter, feed my sheep. Get busy. All these miscellaneous stuff, a coat and a jacket or stuff like that, we'll work that out along the way. You know, just do the important stuff, and the little things will be seen after. We spend all our time thinking about little things. Don't matter a bit. You know, we spend a lot of time with them. So, and don't be like down there in the at the end of this. You can read about it: the faithful and the evil servant. Don't fall into that category. That's a scary place to be. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth there. There's a always with God. It's not enough to do something. What's enough is to do it the way God said to do it, and do it completely. And we ask His forgiveness all the time as we pray when we fail. We do fail, but we can sure get better as we go. Appreciate your attention.